The following program is an MLWRadio.com production.
And welcome to a new episode of the Eastern Lariat Podcast, your show for news, notes, reviews, and opinions on the world of Japanese pro wrestling here on the MLW Radio Network. Talking very fast, Dylan, we're back as soon as we could after the last show. I said it on, when did we do the last show? On Thursday, right? I think on Thursday we did. I told you, maybe we could do a show on Sunday. I don't really have to do a lot of work on Sunday, but I have to do a lot of work next week, so here we are.
You've returned. You've blessed us with your presence, Striga. You've made the time. You've watched the wrestling. You've done what it takes.
I've watched some of the wrestling.
Yes, that's true. Not all of the wrestling, but some of the wrestling. But you did what it takes. That's the most important thing. I feel like Liu Kang right now. You know, you're looking like Kung Lao here. We are here to fight for Japanese pro wrestling. We're here to do what it takes, and I think we're going to do it again. And hopefully, all the listeners out there, you're getting a good, healthy mix of shows right now in the G1 season. And once again, we come back. We weren't going to let you down. We're ending the... Well, we aren't ending it, but they have ended the block play to the major shows. We're heading to Budokan. We're going to have amazing shows coming forward. We're going to have all kinds of stuff going on. But, you know, I felt like last episode, we ended on a down note, a rare down note. Usually, I say very stupid things at the end of shows, but not thoughtful ones. But, you know, I was thinking about it. Nothing I said was wrong, first of all. I definitely agree with that. I agree with everything I said. I agree with myself. I may be the only one that agrees with myself sometimes, Striga, but if you don't agree with yourself, who else is going to agree with you?
Well, okay. I guess you first have to agree with yourself to, like, express yourself, and then others can agree with you. So, yes.
That's right. That's right. And I'm glad you agree that I agree with myself.
Yes,
as I was thinking about it...
I'm condoning your actions.
I'm thankful for that. Where I was going with all this was, we were thinking about it, I was watching these shows, and I was thinking, you know, because I got a message from some people, and they were really surprised I didn't love Hideki and Mochizuki. And I liked that match a lot. And that was the best match on that show. I said it on the last episode. But I feel like, am I heading into that jaded territory? Because I feel like, you know, as the years have gone along, I've gotten a little bit more up. Maybe you've become more jaded due to me. Or just due to life. You know, we all grow up. We all make changes. We're all human beings. Damn. But I feel like I'm falling into a jaded territory again. But then you see shows and you see matches that can really take you to that next level. And I feel like there's matches that maybe not on this show, but I am looking forward to things again. Or I mean, I was never not looking forward to things, but I am looking forward to things ahead. I am looking forward to Japanese pro wrestling. And I want to say, you know, I remember, you know, the first time we started watching, or at least me, a long time ago, was pretty much the Dark Ages, you know, like stuff. And I just realized it'll never be like that. Even if things get not as great as they could be, they'll never be like before, where you're waiting like 3 months for shows and stuff like that. I've realized that. I've taken in my blessings. And even then, even during those times, there was a lot of amazing wrestlers that never got enough credit that they deserved.
I've done this show during the pandemic with Golazo Dan and with Alan Forel, when we looked back at the Lost Boys of Puro, we called it, when we talked about the mid-2000s guys, most and foremost, Fujita Hayato Jr., who, of course, returned now and has a lot of like fans amongst the hardcore fans of Japanese pro wrestling, but
yeah,
lots of newer fans have never seen him wrestle, for example.
That's true, and he's definitely, just because of his story and his return, he's not lost, barely sure. anymore. But, you know, there's a lot of other people that don't get a lot of, you know, love that they maybe should have in the past. You know, you could, like I said, there's a million names you could say, to be honest with you. But, you know, like, I think about those times, and now we're out of that, and even now, things are maybe a little splintered as well, where people value their own company. And maybe don't want to watch everything, which is totally reasonable in all honesty. But I think about it even now, it's a lot better than it was then. So I'm thinking about that, thinking about those times. I have a lot of fond memories of that era, to be honest with you. Obviously, I think anytime somebody starts something, they always have nostalgia for it. You know, even if you're like a New Japan fan that came on when Okada and Tanahashi were feuding, you probably love all those matches. Like, I think that they're amazing. And obviously, they have a lot of amazing matches to love as well, but you probably have a lot of nostalgia, personal nostalgia for it. So I feel like if you have that, and I have that too, but now objectively I think things are definitely better than they were then, especially as a Western fan. From the local crowd, we'll see what happens, but I cannot wait to get to this show, because there's some good things to talk about, there's some bad things. That's the thing, life is full of ups and downs, Stryker. It's not just one thing, you know. There's good, there's bad, there's that middle ground.
Exactly.
We're going to cover them all on this show.
That's the point, ultimately. I also got a message from my friend Marvin. He listened to our last show and he said, your best statement from the latest Eastern Lariat, I hope you all enjoyed that we are down on a lot of things. So, yes, maybe sometimes being down on things can be enjoyable, Dylan.
Well, I'm glad. Shout out to Marvin. I'm glad you enjoyed it. I didn't feel like I was down, but very realistic, to be honest.
And that's the thing, you know. Yeah. You said the dark ages of Pearl, and when you just look at what New Japan, for example, was doing from like 2011 to 2017, I would say there was just a truckload of tremendous stuff, of tremendous matches, tremendous things that went on. But a lot of these guys are still wrestling. They're getting older. We've seen lots of these matches. We've seen multiple rematches in multiple G1 tournaments. And like we said, other companies aren't really trying to be all that different from New Japan. They're trying to copy a lot of things. And with Noah, their entire company has completely turned around, with the roster changing tremendously over the last 2 years, sometimes for the better, sometimes for the worse. So there's a lot of things to tackle and to discuss, and sometimes it just feels like that wrestling could be better, especially with these companies that we follow. And that's like, not like we're not trying to be ultimately negative, but sometimes we just compare it to the wrestling that we've seen years ago, and sometimes we feel like it's not as good. But Dylan, I've seen
even the negative parts, even the bad parts, I just want to say, jump in, I apologize for interrupting, but there's nothing that's not fixable. Like, even any kind of analysis or negative criticisms are meant only for positive things at the end of the day. You know, at the end of the day. So, you know, any kind of negativity or negative things, there's nothing we've seen that isn't fixable in wrestling, or done better, or could be done better. So that's something to think about as well.
Exactly. And I feel like that on this show, we're going to talk about some matches that we really, really enjoyed. I know that I've seen some matches, especially in the G1 and in the Princess Cup. That's the two topics we're going to tackle today that I enjoyed a lot. So there's a lot of other tournaments going on, but I really didn't have the time to sit down and watch the N1 and the 5-Star Grand Prix. I watched some of the Royal Road tournament, but I gotta say, I was really down on this show from the 11th from Nagoya. I didn't think that was a good show at all. I don't know about you, Dylan, how you feel about the main event of that show, but I dreaded the Yuji Nagata versus Yoshitatsu match.
Yeah, you know, I did a Patreon show on this. I just put it up, actually, yesterday. And I said on there, Nagata, I love him.
Yes.
You know, he was like one of my OG favorites as well when I started watching. I remember they played his match on TNA like a him versus Kurt Angle.
Yeah.
And I was like, wow, this guy's awesome. And then I looked at more of him and I was like, whoa, this guy's really awesome. And he was kind of one of the ones I connected to, along with, you know, like somebody like the Kenta and Noah was so amazing, or like Madoka and K-Dojo. But, you know, he always has that love and credibility and all of that from me. But he's not a main event player at this point. And like we saw it in that great show, the one with Ito. I kind of felt the same way. Like, maybe this is a step too far for this guy. And this one especially was not great. And here's the thing. Nagata, yes, old. Or Nagata, old, yes. But Yoshitatsu, not exactly a spring chicken either.
No.
I think we have to keep that in mind. But
45.
And he's a veteran. He's had many injuries.
Sure.
Like, he's been around for a long time. And I think we're seeing now, and it's unfortunate to say, it's very bitter to say, you know, I remember when Nagata was feuding with Shibata and won the NEVER title, okay, mm-hmm. a few years ago.
I think that was, wasn't that already 8 years ago at this point?
No, it definitely was not 8 years old. It was maybe five would be closer.
I'm looking that up.
Yeah, maybe 2017, maybe 2018, something like that. 2017 sounds right. Maybe 2016 there, which would be six.
Yeah, it was 2016. Yeah, yeah.
Exactly. Yeah, okay. So, yeah, six years ago. Years. 6 years. Okay, so, yeah, you know, back then I felt like he was still one of the best. I think that must have been around the time his last G1 as well. Maybe a year after. No, that had to be, I don't know. Who cares? The point is, he was still like one of the best to me back then, and somebody that was really great. And now you see him now, and even Kojima and Noah, you know, he had a good match with Keno. I thought that Sugiura match was very disappointing, as I said. And it's just, you see these guys, and it's like, yeah, they're legends, and they're great and all, but maybe there's a reason they're not pushed in their home promotion, to be honest with you. I think they, you know, they're better off near the bottom rather than the top, in my opinion. I like, that match was, there was nothing good to it, you know, nothing special about it at all. It wasn't an atrocious match or anything. It was better. I'd take that match any day over the Tiger Mask match that was on the show.
Yes, the Tiger Mask one was very, very bad. The title run that Tiger Mask is having is very bad.
Go on.
Yeah, he's another of those guys. I mean, he's 51 years old. He's done this Tiger Mask gimmick for 20 years now. Close to 20 years.
More than that. He was in Michinoku Pro probably like 25, 27 years.
Yeah, that's true. That's
95 was his debut, I think.
Yes, I think, yeah, true. So he's another of those guys that, I mean, for him and for Nagata, the ship as being singles players and winning championships, the ship has just sailed. Sometimes it hurts to say that because, as you said, we love Yuji Nagata. But that's just time, you know. Time goes by. Others pass these guys and they become main event players and they have to go back to the opening matches like it has always been.
Yeah, and we've seen that time come for Nagata, but here he is, a main event player in All Japan. You know, we'll see what happens. I haven't seen the Ashino match yet. If there's anybody that can get a great match out of him, I see so much of Kanemoto in Ashino. And that was one of my favorite matches in New Japan, was their G1 semifinal match, Kanemoto and Nagata. So hopefully they can bring something great out in that match. Tiger Mask adds nothing. I've come to the conclusion that I hate him as junior champion more than Voodoo Murders and everything.
Nah. Wow.
I hate this title reign. In so many ways, I think it's literally one of the worst things in all of wrestling, like, to me. And I don't understand what they see in this. Here's the thing. Nagata is a legendary performer. Kojima, legendary performer. Tiger Mask was not that great even in his prime. You know, unless his prime was, I mean, his Michinoku Pro days, yes. But ever since he came to New Japan, he was never that great. And so I don't need to see him now in his old self be a champion. And especially the way, like, they had everything set up perfectly with Sato as champion. And the way they did it with Aoki, really, on the Aoki Memorial Show, really run me the wrong way right away. And, you know, now they're doing their thing. They're doing a bunch of title defenses in a row. All of them suck. They're going to have this Black Tiger deal. They're trying to do, who knows who that even is. Probably Devil Murasaki or somebody coming back under a
new Wow.
I mean, I don't know. But, nobody seems to know who that is. But I guess we'll find out when
we try to find out in our Cage Match Discord, but we haven't really gotten to the bottom of it. We we're thinking that it might be one of those guys that Takaiwa is going around in the indies, but we're not sure yet. We'll see.
Yeah, we'll have to see a wrestler before we serve it. But, you know, it's...
We've considered Kenya Maeda. That's the guy that Takaiwa is wrestling with. And Takaiwa has been Black Tiger before. So
yes, he is.
Could be the one.
It's Takaiwa. No, that would actually be very funny.
It's not Takaiwa. He looks different.
Well, we haven't seen him wrestle yet. We don't know who is going to be...
They've uploaded the picture.
Well, that doesn't mean anything. That could be a fake picture, for all you know. That could be Carmel Ito under that mask.
Are you saying wrestling promotions are lying to me, Dylan?
I don't want to reveal too much, Stricker, but that is something I've heard about. This is a rumor I've heard about, that sometimes in wrestling there are lies told. But I choose, and maybe you want to believe that, but I choose not to believe them. I guess we could say it's very trustworthy. You're right. Ironclad, no changes will be made. But anyway, the point is the junior title sucks. Like right now with Tiger Mask. The thing is, the division... They had that brief moment of glory with Sato as champion, but for the most part, this title sucked for a long time now. You know, like, remember when Sugi was champion, having that awful match with Hayato at the start of the year?
Sure, yeah.
Tajiri was champion, super crazy. It's like, we've seen a lot of bad stuff in this title over the years, but unfortunately, it seems like it's destined to be at the spot that they want to drag it down to, and my only hope is Atsuki can get something from it.
That's the one hope.
Even though he would have gotten much more from beating Sato, in my opinion. But whatever, you know, at the end of the day, maybe they think, oh, he's a New Japan guy, he's a big star. Yeah, sure. But we will see what happens in the going forward. But yes, the show was not that great. I love the angle, I don't know if you saw it, where Cyrus broke into Kento's locker room.
Yeah.
That was awesome!
Yeah, at least that was something, you know, something that they did that is different from just them doing their matches. And nothing else.
Yeah, he said he would kill Kento, while Kento looked mystified at this. And I'm sure he had no idea what he was talking about. But he looked completely confused and then looked at Rising Hayato, like, what was that all about? And Hayato was like, don't look at me. and he was just like, okay.
Pretty much.
Yeah. Yes.
Didn't help Cyrus. He lost to Nagata on the show today.
Cyrus lost to Kento.
Yes.
Yes, I've not seen that show yet, but I will in the future. I will do a review of that on Patreon, along with all of the N1 shows that we don't talk about today, going in there. I had a little bit of a review of the first show on the last episode, but I will do more of Noah and All Japan. You will get your Noah and All Japan, as well as Stardom Fix as well. I've done all the shows that have aired so far on the Patreon, but we will do another one with this. I cannot wait to see this Korakuen show, just because of the crowd. The attendance being a Supernova vacancy show was very surprising in the middle of a tour, so I was very happy to see that, obviously, but I cannot wait to do that show as well going forward. But we have other stuff to talk about today, Striga. We have other promotions. As we know, one tournament is not enough for Japanese pro wrestling at a time. We need four tournaments. No, five tournaments at the same time. All Japan Stardom, Princess Cup, N1... and G1. So five tournaments going on all at once. And that's just scraping the iceberg.
I'm grateful for 01 that they've ended their Fire Festival now.
Top 01 podcast in the world.
Yes.
As we continue our claim. Listen, Striga, I need to tell you something. I've got orange soda right now. I'm feeling electrified from it. This is back-to-back shows I've had orange soda. Wow. Now, sometimes I have a sports drink. Sometimes I'll have water. Sometimes I'll just have soda. Sometimes I know you're a big fan of the beer and stuff like which nobody's judging you for that. That's what this show is all about: kicking back, having fun, relaxing, living your best life. At the end of the day, and I feel like I'm living my best life through this orange soda right now. One of the best of the fruit flavored sodas I have to have. I have to say.
You know what? I also still have some orange soda in the refrigerator, so maybe then I will just go crazy and in the middle of the show go to the refrigerator and get that soda out.
Okay. I'm down with that. You're welcome to do it. I dare you to do it. Like I said.
You dare? Okay.
I double dog dare you, Striga. The orange soda, if you have the guts, if you can handle the stimulating and wonderful and mystifying taste of orange soda.
Wow. And I dare you now, Dylan. Dare you to talk about the TJPW Princess Cup 2020. 22 from Curriculum Hall, day 6, drawing 444 fans on a Saturday. It started out, Dylan, with Shoko Nakajima, the champion, defeating Kaya Toribami. Solid match in the opening, I would say. Then we had a tag match with Free Wi-Fi, one of the best names in wrestling, with Naoka Kuta and Hikari Noah. And you know, Dylan, sometimes these moments happen where you sit there and you've seen these names all the time and you've talked about these names all the time. And suddenly there's something when the penny drops, right? Or as in Germany we say, wenn der Groschen fällt, Dylan, when the penny drops. And I suddenly thought, okay, wow, I've never actually thought about it, but Hikari Noah is a pun on Hikari Noah, on the Circle of Light, the move that Kness used.
How about that?
Thought about it, but if you say it, it's blatantly obvious.
That's true, Hikari Noah. Yes, yeah. You know, like I said, very, very good stuff there. So maybe very highly inspired by Kness. Hikari Noah, Kness's move. That was a great move.
Yeah.
Yeah. See, so he I'm done with this.
So they faced Raku and Yuki Aino. Once again, I thought this was a good match. I really like the tag team of Hikari Noah and Naoka Kuta. They should be in for a title shot down the line if Saki Akai and Yuki Arai can hold on to the championships. That should be a good defense. But then, Dylan, we had Mei Tsuruga versus Arisu Endo, and I thought this match was just great. I absolutely loved Arisu Endo's approach to try to get down Mei Tsuruga. I loved her ways of trying to cradle her. And then, as it looked like Arisu Endo would be able to put Tsuruga away, Tsuruga returned this and she submitted her. That match, I thought, was just tremendous. Mei Tsuruga, we know that she's great. Arisu Endo, we've talked about her a bunch of times as well. I hope that more and more people see how good she already is with her experience of only a little more than 1 year, 1.5 years she's been wrestling. She's, I said that on Twitter, she's one of those that really need to be promoted to the International Princess Division to make that division look stronger. But, you know, we know how tough it is with the TJPW to be elevated.
Yeah, you know, both of these girls have a lot of talent. Endo, I really think, has done a lot of great things. It's shown a lot of great improvement as well. Tsuruga, obviously, I think everybody knows she's one of the absolute best in terms of just her character, her charisma, and getting you involved as a fan into her matches. I think she did it again here with Endo, who's a very solid talent. And you just, every time you see Tsuruga, you're getting some big matches with her, and especially a singles match. I think that that's a great thing. It really helped the show out. Even the first match with Toribami and Shoko, they made sure to give Toribami a good amount of offense to make things more even. You've given some pretty solid singles matches on the undercard of the show. I think they did a great job of building the full show in general. And Tsuruga and Endo was the best of the bunch, in my opinion, by far.
Yes. Next up, we had the usual comedy match involving Hyper Misao. This time was a three-way match with Rika Tatsumi and Mitsuki. Mitsuki and Tatsumi tried to cover Misao a couple of times together, but then ultimately Tatsumi was able to win that match. It was fine. In the undercard, I would say she won with the twist of fate on Misao. And then we had the debut of Max the Impaler, Dylan. What did you think about the match against Po Marajuku?
I mean, it was perfect for what it needed to be. This beast character destroying this, whatever Po Marajuku is. But it was what it needed to be, what you expected. Max the Impaler, unique look for sure. Definitely brings something different to especially this promotion. I would say is bringing something different to. But it was good for what it was. I know a lot of people went crazy over it, but you know, mid card
was fine.
Yeah,
loved when Pom tried to run away, but she was guided back to the ring by Yuki Aino and by Raku, but she didn't want to. She was crying, but then she hyped up and lost.
the very, very inspirational story. She found the courage to take on the monster and then just lost.
Okay, yes, she lost. Someone who won the next match was Mahiro Kiryu. She teamed with Yuki Kamifuku and with Haruna Neko. They took on the champions, the Princess Tag Team Champions, Saki Aka and Yuki Arai, as well as Moka Miyamoto. And Mahiro Kiryu was able to defeat Arai with her Spinebuster finish, which was a good finish. Still, though, she did the Spinebuster finish twice on this weekend, Dylan. I am not a big fan of Kiryu's Spinebuster. That doesn't really look very impactful. There's two ways. Either she has to improve her Spinebuster, or she needs to find another move, I would say.
I always say, if you can't do a move that good, there's no reason to force it into your moveset. No. Do something that you're better at. So I would say that. Kiryu, this one match was okay, I thought, in general. You know, a 5-6-woman match. A very random match, and the main card's like, hey, we've got these people who maybe aren't doing anything. And here they are. So they had this match. Kiryu getting the win was pretty surprising, actually, I thought, mm-hmm. of everything. But maybe they're setting something up for her.
Yeah, they're clearly setting up the tag title defense for Kamifuku and for Kiryu. Like a tag team title challenge.
Yeah, yeah. So I'm fine with that. You know, Kiryu, solid mid-card worker. Kamifuku, definitely very popular among the Tokyo Joshi Pro fan base. Makes sense. You know, I was fine with this, but nothing that's particularly stood out in terms of a match.
Yeah. Next match was the semifinal for the Tokyo Princess Cup. First one with Yuka Sakazaki going over Suzume in 12 minutes. This is a rating of 7.41. I would say this is a rating that fits for this match. It was a good match with Suzume always trying to roll Yuka Sakazaki up in different situations, different angles here. But ultimately, once again, with Yuka in this tournament, she was just portrayed as being completely unbeatable. And of course, in the end, she won the tournament. That, in my opinion, took away a lot from what this match could have been with the heavy underdog of Suzume. Because at no point I was thinking that she could really get the pinfall on Sakazaki with her flash pins. So I thought the match was put down by this bit note, I would say. But otherwise, a good performance once again by Suzume and, of course, by Sakazaki too.
You know, I think that Suzume did her best in this role. I thought she showed a lot of good speed, very good pacing throughout the match. I thought they tried to make this not boring, even though the result was very obvious from the beginning. Mm-hmm. I like that. I think they used her offense very well. And Sakazaki proving to be an unstoppable, truly the glass ceiling of the promotion. And she will not let anyone through in her matches. That's kind of the story they're telling right there. But to me, you know, Sakazaki was definitely going to win this. You know, it was obvious to me. That definitely was no drama or anything, I felt like, in the match. But it was well performed for both women's part, and I give them credit for that.
Yes, and then the main event of the show has an extremely high rating of 9.16. Mio Watanabe defeated Mio Yamashita in 18 minutes 23. Dylan, what's your take on this match?
It was a good match, like very good, I would say. I'm probably not as high on it as a lot of people, to be honest with you. I thought it was, like, really good. But I think that, you know, like, again, we've seen stronger matches in the past from Yamashita, especially, going in there. Watanabe, obviously one of the best talents, best young talents, specifically here. I felt the story was really good. And you could see why people were so invested in it. It would be interesting to if we wiped the ratings and had people re-rate it, what they would do after the final. Because I think mm-hmm. that the final certainly, I don't think it takes away from the other match at all, but I think it very, very much takes away from this one. Because a big portion of it was just how happy the fans were to see Watanabe, rather, get the win at the end of the day. So I think that really made a part of it. And, you know, it was still a big... You know, it was still a big moment for her to beat Yamashita. It's just, you know, obviously with the finals, I think that changes people's point of view on this. But as a match, as a pure match, I thought it was still very good and one worth praising.
I was a little caught off guard by the finish because that happened like kind of out of nowhere with Watanabe just loading up Yamashita for the teardrop, and that was just it. I thought the match, the final minutes were really strong and could have used some additional drama to it, I thought. But then it was just over. It was fine that it was over, and I also say it was a good match, but I could have used some more legs to it in the final minutes.
Yeah, I agree with that. I definitely agree that the finish especially came out of nowhere. So, but after this, though, I think pretty much everybody was super hyped for the finals, regardless of any kind of problems with that. I think most people were just ready to see what was going to happen in the finals, and we saw what happened.
Yeah, exactly. So the second show then earlier today from Curtain Hall, drawing 100 fans more than the show yesterday with 551, had a bunch of mid-card matches that, they weren't really noteworthy, I would say. Now Kakuta defeated Moka Miyamoto, 8 minutes with Ishiden Kai, Yuki Kamifuku and Mahiro Kiryu. Here you see them once again winning as a tag team, defeated Hypermissa and Kaya Toribami once again with the Spinebuster. Once again, not very impressive. Then a really fun mid-card match. Mio Yamashita, Suzume, and Haruna Neko defeated Mitsuki, Raku, and Pom Harajuku. I said it on Twitter, and Pom liked the tweet. Pom Harajuku probably is very happy that this weekend is now over. Not only did she fall victim to Max the Impaler, but she also fell victim to Mio Yamashita with the attitude adjustment here and her kicks. She kicked her off the top rope very hard. Pom fell from there, and hard weekend for poor Pom. Then, fourth match on the show, Saki Akai, Yuki Arai, the tag team champions, got their mojo back. They defeated Hikari Noah and Arisu Endo. Here I noted, Arisu Endo, she tried the drop kick where she jumps from the second to the third rope and then does the missile kick. She did this here, and in the match against Mei Suruga, it didn't really work out, but she tried it again here, and this time it worked out. So she is one of those cases that she makes the moves work in the end. But after a good finishing stretch with Yuki Arai, Yuki Arai was able to win the match with the X kick. And what I noted too, Dylan, some attitude by Yuki Arai. She didn't shake Hikari Noah's and Arisu Endo's hand.
Wow. Maybe she's feeling herself now. She's a tag team champion. She's one of the few young talents that actually gets pushed, so she feels a sense of superiority over these other people who don't get as much rub as her. So she's feeling herself too much, it's going to her head, and now she's, like you said, showing a little bit of an attitude. But hopefully, maybe it'll inspire the others, Hikari Noah and Arisu Endo, and challenge them to be better than where they are, and move up that card, and beat the hell out of Yuki Arai one day.
Maybe she can find Saki-sama and she can let her join Neobishiki-gun.
There's definitely not enough members of that group, I would say. So we need more. We need to bring it back again. And, Saki-sama been a tag team champion multiple times at this point. Mm-hmm. So why not? Why not? This company is very good at doing things they've done many times before. So, why not do that one as well?
Yes, exactly. Semi-main, thought it was a very long match. It was okay. We had the 147-centimeter big kaiju take on a much taller kaiju in Max the Impaler. Shoko Nakajima teamed with Rika Tatsumi against Yuki Aino and Max the Impaler. Rika and Shoko Nakajima tried their best to get Max down to their feet. Not really successful in that, but luckily for Shoko and for Rika, they had Yuki Aino in the team as well. And in the end, it was the diving sentence from Shoko Nakajima that sealed the deal for this team. Max carried Yuki Aino to the back. So, solid weekend for Max. Have you seen the Ganbare Pro Show yet, Dylan?
No.
Very impressive team with Max the Impaler and Hartley Jackson, of all people. Hartley Jackson, another monster They won their tag team match, and Hartley Jackson challenged Yumito Imanari for the Spirit of Ganbare Championship. So that should be happening very soon.
Shout out to Hartley Jackson. Long-time veteran, 0-1 guy in the past. Very, like you said, very big as well. Maybe he'll have a great match with Imanari. I know a lot of people are really into a lot of his stuff right now, as they should be. He's a very good wrestler. And Jackson, he's had a great, unique career as well. So I have to praise Hartley. Hopefully he has a good run in Ganbare Pro. Nice to see him pop up again.
On the topic of Ganbare, just quickly here, I would recommend everybody to watch that show if you have Wrestle Universe, especially the last three matches. Soma Takao defeated Shota. They are a tag team. The tag team name is Roman Dawn. Really, really strong singles match between the two. One of the best singles matches I've ever seen Soma Takao have. Six-man tag, Ken Okai, Shuichiro Katsumura, and Tatsuya Takaiwa defeated Keisuke Ishii, Koki Iwasako, and Shinichiro Tominaga. This was the true spirit of Ganbare. Just six men going all out in the semi-main with lots of moves, lots of spears, lots of strikes. This was a great, great six-man match. Ganbare is very good at those six-man matches, by the way. And Yumehito Imanari defeated Shigeyuru Irie in the main of this show. To me, this match was too long with almost 28 minutes. We had a lot, like almost half of the match was Shigehiro Irie just being on top and dominating, and Yumehito Imanari was selling and selling and selling. The story, like the content they had was maybe for an 18 to 20 minute match, but they dragged it out to 28 minutes to have it more dramatic, which didn't really work out in Kirkland Hall. They drew 313 fans. It's really hard to get invested when you have not that many fans watching the show. And then you have this long match where you're banking on fans getting invested. And they did in the end, but to me was a little long. Still good, though. Good show for Ganbare Pro Wrestling.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to seeing that.
All right, so that's what we have for the undercard and for Ganbare Pro, Dylan. And then we had the Princess Cup final. Yuka Sakazaki has defeated Mio Watanabe, and she will now go on to challenge Shoko Nakajima for the Princess of Princess Championship. This match went 20 minutes. What did you think about it?
You know, it was another good match. You know, in just terms of the pure wrestling sense, I think that that's probably going to get lost in the shuffle a little bit. I thought they wrestled really hard. Watanabe is a very talented performer, especially, you know, working from the underneath, showing some babyface fire. I thought that she effectively rallied the fan base into successfully wanting her to win this match, as well as just the story calling upon it, you would think, based on what they've done in the tournament. But what everybody's going to talk about is obviously the finish with Sakazaki winning.
Yeah.
You know, so it was a really good match, and it shouldn't be forgotten, but I know it probably will be.
I'm really down on the finish. I was hugely disappointed with this. This clearly was Mio Watanabe's tournament to win. In my opinion, she is on the best run of her career. And losing to Yuka Sakazaki now, it really feels like there is a glass ceiling for lots of performers, and that might sound dramatic and maybe overly dramatic, but we've seen it times and times with TJPW that they just have trouble in elevating younger talent, that they go to the well, to go back to our last show, they go back to the same well a lot with the same matches. And now we have Shoko Nakajima and Yuka Sakazaki once again main eventing the show. It's going to be the main event of Wrestle Princess 3 on October 9. Yeah, I was really down with the finish, and that hurt my enjoyment of the match, I gotta say. I don't know how you feel about this glass ceiling stuff.
I said it on the show just a few minutes ago, actually. We were talking about the other show that clearly there is a glass ceiling.
Yeah.
So, you know, last year, to me, I said it at the time, Ito should have won that title, and everyone in the world told me that I was wrong, and that everything is going to work out in the end, and that they're going to push new stars, and everything was going to be great. And I think this year, the whole year really, this company has not been doing that great, to be honest with you. I think it's actually a really cold and not very enjoyable promotion to follow, in all honesty, for at the most of the year. And this, we had this tournament, we had hope again with Watanabe.
Mm-hmm.
They gave you somebody new that you could follow behind, follow the stories, because the wrestling quality of Tokyo Joshi Pro is better than it's ever been before. But the problem is that there's no one interesting to follow their stories, because there is no upward mobility in the card outside of one person, Yuki Arai. And Juria will also be there shortly, due to their idol status. But everyone else is basically running on the same treadmill. And we wanted to believe this was Watanabe's thing, and they actually set it up almost perfectly for her to win, just from a logical storytelling perspective. But instead, they did what they always do, and go to their pillars, so to speak, and they've trusted them to carry the next show. Obviously, it wasn't just you, Strig. Everyone had a negative reaction to this, I would say, or a lot of people. A vast majority did not like how this played out, and I understand that. But they show you what they do, and they always do what they do, and that's not going to change. And, I mean, like, to me, if you're a fan of Watanabe or any young wrestler on this roster, what you should root for them to do is to leave the company and go to somewhere else. Like, someone else whose haters always seem to be in the mud decided to leave this company and is having great success where she's at now. And I think that would happen for Watanabe as well, or anyone else who was in the company that has a lot of talent, because this is a very talented roster. But they're never going to achieve their potential unless they are, unless they're one of the founders, the pillars, so to speak, or an idol. And if you're not that, then you are going to be on the outside looking in on this company. And they've proven that once again with Watanabe. And, I actually think this is not as bad as last year. Like the Ito thing, that felt like a game-changing moment that they let slip by. And they've never been able to recover from it. so we have hindsight that shows that they've clearly never been able to recover from it. Watanabe is a fine young talent, like very good wrestler, big fan. But I don't think anybody thinks that she's going to suddenly change the company, or like take things to the next level just by her moving up. It's just the storytelling sucks because you would always think that she would win with how they set it up.
Yeah.
But she got big wins throughout the tournament. If you want to look at it from a traditional Japanese perspective, she got bigger wins than she ever had before. She's clearly at a different level than she was in years prior. So I kind of understand it from that sense, but obviously...
I get it, yeah.
But that's not the... as I always say...
No, you can't ever go one step forward and then one step backwards. That's not working.
You can't catch lightning in a bottle twice. And I think you had something special with her and the support for her. And you see the reaction that 9 point whatever on case for a semifinal. You had that reaction for her. You had the support for her. But they went against it, as they always do. So I don't know what to... It's hard to analyze something where it's clear that they are... on some other wavelength than me.
In some ways, the match reflected... that as well, because it also very clearly, in my opinion, was Miyu Watanabe's match to win. Because she brought lots of offense, I would say, to this match. I remember specifically, there were these two moments with the giant swing. First one was when Yuka Sakazaki was able to counter the giant swing as she just held onto Miyu Watanabe, which was a great moment, by the way. And she suplexed Watanabe then. Then Watanabe once again was able to get the giant swing in, but this time a reverse version of the giant swing that she has established in the tournament before, in one of her tournament matches before this one. And I gotta say, to do this move, this requires a lot of neck strength by your opponent, which Yuka Sakazaki obviously has, so shout out to her. And then there were all these great punches and strikes that Watanabe threw at Sakazaki, like these hammer elbows she threw to Sakazaki's chest. They were all saying, I am beating you. I am winning this match. But then the merry-go-round came and it was the finish. And I was very surprised by that because the finish then fell flat to me because that isn't even Sakazaki's big match finish. It's That's the right. finish that she uses for like mid-card opponents. She usually does the Magical Girl Splash to to finish her big matches after the opponent kicks out of the merry-go-round, which I completely expected here, but didn't happen.
Nope. I mean, she used her mid-card finish on a mid-card opponent. So, yeah. It sucks because people are... Like, I don't think Sakazaki's to blame for all this. She's kind of become the face of their poor booking, unfortunately. And she's a very talented performer. I think she's done a great job in all of her matches. She's a fine choice for the main eventer. Not super interesting, but only because she's already had a long title reign and the company's very stale, especially at the top. But really, I would say up and down, almost. So you're looking at somebody like that, and people are kind of... You know, negative on her, but I think she's a great performer personally.
She is, absolutely.
Like, so I cannot accept Sakazaki being at fault or a bad thing.
But I mean, it's not her fault that they are booking her to win this tournament. That's not her fault.
And they're booking for their fans. Like, there are people that want to see the Pillars on top all the time. They've built this company how it is. Through, like I said, it's not like this is the first time anything like this has happened at Tokyo Joshi Pro. It's been years of building this sort of thing. So there are fans that want to see this, and they're thinking about them. It's not making any new fans, no, but they are looking for those kind of things as well. So, like I said, their point of view, I see it, I don't like it, and I think it's wrong, ultimately. But they're trying to go with who they always go with. Like, always going with the consistent Pillars. And I think that'll be a good match, you know, Sakazaki and Shoko. And then the next time, we'll probably see Yamashita get the title from Yuka after she wins it in a few months. So it's kind of like this merry-go-round is an apropos name for the entire company, I would say. Truly, the representative of the merry-go-round is Yuka Sakazaki.
Yeah, that's where we are with TJPW. Like I said, the main event for their Tokyo Dome City Hall stands with Shoko Nakajima defending against Yuka Sakazaki now. And that's about it. So this, I guess, closes our segment about Tokyo Yoshi Pro Wrestling with the Princess Cup.
Let me stop you right there, Stryker, before we move on.
Why didn't you do that before? Because I was just going to close the segment.
Because I don't want you to close the segment. I don't want you to move forward. I want to ask you something or propose a question that I don't know if somebody told me or I just read it. And I wanted to ask your thoughts on this. Is this a Tokyo Joshi Pro problem per se? Or is this an issue through all of the companies in this cyber fight camp? Because what they've done is not dissimilar from a lot of what we've seen in NOAH and DDT as well. And a lot of people are talking, and we have a match coming up next week with Endo versus Higuchi, a very similar circumstance where mid-carder is facing a main event guy, and we all want him to step up. And it's one of those things, it's where, is this something within the entire group, pretty much, of Cyber Fight Fest that's more so than a Tokyo Joshi Pro specific issue?
Yes and no. I would say it's an issue to the core Wrestle Universe companies with DDT and with TJPW, so with the original DDT group. Mm-hmm. I would not say that it's an issue with Ganbare Pro because they have a different booking approach. They have elevated talent in recent time.
They're so small that they don't matter, Strig. They're not a mainstream company.
Then Pro Wrestling NOAH. And Pro Wrestling NOAH, in my opinion, is different too, because with the advent of Nosawa Rongai, they have gone back to elevating other wrestlers that hadn't been in main event positions in NOAH before. But yes, they go back to those that have been main event talent, but not specifically in Pro Wrestling NOAH. So I can see where you're coming from with these similarities for the promotions, but I wouldn't really count NOAH in this discussion.
Who have they elevated?
No, I was just saying they use talent from other companies that have been in other companies before, elevated talent and have them there as their main event talent. But yeah, you're right. They had real trouble. They have real trouble in elevating their own talent. Yes, clearly.
I don't anybody they elevate is old. Like, there's no young talent that they elevate.
That's what I just said.
Yeah, so I but you're saying that it's different somehow.
Yeah, because it's not their own talent that they are bringing in. Like, with TJPW and with DDT, it's their pillars, that, like you call them.
Yeah.
And with Noah, it's a different approach because they are all outsiders.
Yeah, I guess I could see that overall. And I'm not even saying
but
I agree.
Ultimately, it's older talent that gets the rub, yes.
And I'm not even saying I agree or disagree. It's something I saw on there. But I definitely don't think they've elevated any talent in Noah. To say the least, I would disagree with that, certainly.
They have trouble elevating their own talent. That's what I said.
Well, yeah, I agree with that. So certainly, but it's unfortunate when you see it. But the point is, it's clear that they don't want to elevate any new talent in these companies. At the end of the day, like what for whatever the reasons are, and it's not interesting to follow a lot of these companies. Again, like all three of those companies to me have had very bad years in general, at least for being you know, in terms of interest. There's been some good matches in all three. But as I said last week about New Japan, there's good matches in many, many places. So it's not like, you know, it's this very unique thing to have good wrestling these days. But in terms of following their guys, like their stories of all of their talent in the company, I don't know if I'm interested in a single person in these three companies.
Yeah, I can't add anything to that. That's right, yeah.
Yeah, so it kind of goes back to what I said at the end of last week. They need somebody to capture the imagination of the fans, in my opinion, on a lot of these shows. They need to get behind some people, and I don't know who that is exactly, but and it doesn't even matter in a lot of ways, just to throw some people in. Again, Watanabe, you know, a great choice. I think it would have been great for Tokyo Joshi Pro, but I just see the companies up and down, you know, where you see this, and I do think there's a major, major issue with that, where the fans have to grow with people. You know, just like Okada in New Japan, like the fans could grow with him. Like Kento, they could grow with him. They saw him, and they saw him win, and they followed his story. They loved that. The fans need to have a good, you know, it's okay to drag things out sometimes. It's okay to draw things out, but at the end of the day, you see that, and it is something interesting that I noticed, and I actually agree that I would say it's all the companies, not just actually Tokyo Joshi Pro.
Yeah, I see where you're coming from, definitely. There's some similarities you can point at that definitely make you wonder what's the issue there. Yeah, maybe it's a philosophy that they just look at certain people in a certain way and they just think we have to do these matches to draw a big house. And sometimes they get proven right, but they really never try to put on newer talent into these positions so that you can prove a different point.
And they haven't actually been proven right a lot, to be honest with you. They usually get proven wrong, actually, for the most part.
TJPW, they've grown their attendance in recent years tremendously. So
that is true. Yeah, so hopefully we can see that continue to grow. You know, it does feel like we're heading towards, if we're not already there with this, last year they gave them the benefit of the doubt, even though in my opinion it was kind of worse. This year I think a lot of people are not giving them the benefit of the doubt. I think that a lot of people have felt burned by this company, and, you know, that's the fans. We'll see how long they can keep doing this and it lasts at the end of the day. And hopefully the fans will stick with them, and maybe one day we will see them finally get that moment, and maybe it'll be made even better because of all these struggles that not just the wrestler, but the fans of the wrestler have gone through to get there.
Yeah, exactly. All right. Can I make the transition now? Is that okay?
Yes.
Okay, thank you. So we are closing down the segment for TJPW, and we're transitioning over to Pro Wrestling, to New Japan Pro Wrestling, with day 16 and 17 of the G1 Climax, the final 2 days with undercard tag matches. The final day of block action will be on Tuesday on the 16th, with I think 8 G1 matches that are still left. But here we had the show from Machida, from Togi Makabe's hometown, actually. He was not on the card. But we had five G1 matches, and everything opened up with Kenta defeating Aaron Henare. Henare had gotten his one big win over Hiroshi Tanahashi, and otherwise he lost all of his matches. I thought that he looked good throughout his tournament, but certainly, like, winning at the beginning and losing everything then is not as good of a look like he would have had if he had picked up a win at the end. Kenta here went to 4 points, and of course he also defeated Hiroshi Tanahashi in the main event of the second show of this weekend, so ended up at 6, which is pretty good for him. Henare, though, down with 2 in his debut G1. Well, can only go up from here, I guess.
His wins and losses were never going to be as important as his performance in the tournament. Mm-hmm. And I think he had a pretty admirable run. It wasn't anything that blew the roof off or anything like that in really any of his matches, but he did a good job throughout and pretty much had good matches with everybody. It felt like a solid glue guy in any block in the future, I would say. They did give him his win at the start, but yeah, like you said, lost everything else. But it fits his role in the company. Like, if you were to measure C block, he's pretty much at the, you know, maybe, you know, he's pretty much at the bottom in terms of positioning on the card.
Yeah.
So it's, they didn't want to give him a lot here, but he was in a tough block with a lot of guys, and he wrestled admirably. And that, to me, is more important than his wins and losses per se. And I think he definitely performed well enough to get back on the tour next year.
Oh, certainly.
Yeah, and Kenta got another win here. You know, decent match. Nothing wrong with it at all. Very, very solid. Again, nothing that's going to be appearing on any match of the year ballots, I would say, but still a fine opener of the show.
We had the usual Toruyano buffoonery, this time with Jeff Cobb. Cobb beat him in under 5. That was that.
That's true. We had Cobb kind of make fun of Mach Yano early on at the start of the match. That was pretty fun.
Yeah.
Oyo was there, you know, at some point.
He was there. The ring skirt was there, yes.
That's true. The fans were there. The referee was there.
At the beginning of the match, Yano was not there. He would lose by countout, but then he snuck up behind Jeff Cobb and almost pinned him. But yeah, we are talking too long about this match already.
Yes, I agree.
Well, there's not a lot to say about the next one either, I guess. Shingo Takagi defeated Yujiro Takahashi in a very long match, actually, in 15 minutes. Thought it was an okay match. They went back to the story of last year's G1, I think it was, when Yujiro... Did he defeat him by countout last year?
I think it might have been like a... It was some kind of countout. Was it a double countout, or did he beat him?
Something of a non-finish to eliminate Shingo Takagi.
Yeah.
I'm just looking at it. Singles matches. That was a double countout, yes.
Amazing I remember this match, but yes, I take no credit for getting this right. It's just, I don't know why I remember this, but yes, I do remember the double countout.
Between their 5 singles matches, they only had 3 of them end in a real finish, and this was one of them, where it once again looked like Yujiro would take Shingo Takagi out with a count-out victory, or with a double count-out, it looked like. But Shingo Takagi was able to get him back into the ring in time and finishing off with the Last of the Dragon. Well, it was more of a Made in Japan, actually, than a Last of the Dragon, because he didn't really get Yujiro around. This wasn't really it.
It definitely will not be considered one of the greatest matches of the G1. And it wasn't even particularly that great, even. But, you know, for a Yujiro match, and they did a lot of shenanigans and stuff with the referee, the chair, and so on and so forth, it was okay. Like, I mean, like you said, there's not a lot I can say about it. You kind of covered
a good moment with the chair, yeah, when he basically lariated the chair to Yujiro's face. That was pretty good.
So, you know, I just think that it's a show was there as well. We cannot forget it. You know, he was there in this match as always. So right away, you always have to measure Yujiro's matches by this rating. If show is there, it's probably going to be bad. If he's not there, it might be good. But this is probably on the higher end of the bad matches, you could say.
Yeah, true. Luckily, Dylan, we had 2 more matches left on this card, and What did we have, Dylan, with Will Ospreay defeating Yoshihashi?
Yeah, I thought this was a good match. You know, they did some good stuff here. Yoshihashi, first of all, we have to mention, too, I don't know what kind of deal this is, but Yoshihashi's shoulder is definitely, they're selling this injury, and it may very well be real.
Maybe a real injury, yes. Yeah,
so that's a big part of his last couple of matches here. Ospreay did a lot of his big stuff. You know, he did a huge plancha to the outside, hitting a phenomenal forearm type of deal.
I really like this approach that he had with tackling Yoshihashi's shoulder, like this forearm to the back. Clearly, also was designed to attack this shoulder section that Yoshihashi has hurt.
That's right. They had a big striking segment where he chopped Ospreay. They went back and forth. Yoshihashi hit a headbutt, and then Ospreay hit a super kick, and they ended up looking for the karma. And he actually hit it, but they had to his shoulder was too hurt, so he had to have the slow cover, and that allowed Ospreay to kick out. I thought he hit a great lariat. I love his technique on the lariat, where it's like he hits it and raises his arm up in the air.
Yeah, he comes from underneath. It looks great all the time.
Yeah, really good stuff there. In the end, Ospreay hit the one-man standing Spanish fly, and then the hidden blade, devastating finish to get the win here. And Ospreay got the win, and it was a good match, I thought.
Also,
best of the show.
Also want to put over how great it looked, how Yoshihashi took the Oscutter. This guy is just awesome.
Yeah, certainly one of the best performers. To me, in the G1, he's been. He has a very strong case for being the MVP of the tournament in ring wise. I mean, and who knows with the way D Block is? Who knows what's going to happen next? But it was a very good match.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, well, Yoshihashi then got the win over David Finlay on the second night. So everything is tight. Yeah, you like this one the most on this show, Dylan. I may be surprising you, but I was a big, big fan of the main event match. I love the match. And I want to compare it actually to the Okada and Tom Lawler match, because in many ways, I thought this match was very similar. Not like from the wrestling part of it, because Jay and Taichi just wrestled very differently. But from the general story arc of it, because you clearly, as the match progressed, wanted to see Taichi win this match. And they really stacked everything up in this one. They cut down all the usual bullshit talking that Jay White does. But here they involved Gedo a lot more. Gedo, at one point of the match, he dragged around Mio Abe by the hair, which of course then called out Taichi to save his woman, which even more positioned him as a babyface. And I would have never thought that he has this great of a babyface performance in him. This was tremendous, in my opinion. And he had Jay White on the verge of defeat, as he was able to counter the Blade Runner twice in the match. And they built this up really, really well, that he almost got the win with the Black Mephisto. And I think Jay White even hit the Blade Runner at one point, but wasn't able to cover Taichi because he was so worn down by all the offense that Taichi threw at him, with his sumo offense and all kinds of stuff that he had. So I really, really loved that. And then why I bring up the Lawler and Okada match is that this finish, once again, was completely frustrating, but that's what you get with a heel, and with a heel that you want to get a heat behind with Jay White. He found an out in this match, and he defeated Taichi, who in the end was eliminated from the tournament with only 4 points. So, well, not a good tournament for him when it comes to his wins and losses, but I think he made a lot of new fans, I think.
I thought this match sucked. Honestly, I'm very surprised to hear that. Actually, and here's the thing about that moment. Again, I bring this up on almost every show because they keep making the same mistakes on every show. That moment you mentioned with the Blade Runner was a complete copy of what we just saw in the semi-main event with the Karma. I like this, the same thing where he hit his finishing move and then did it. Why do they have to do the same things on every single show? I don't understand that philosophy, where this spot would have been epic if we hadn't have just seen it, like literally in the last match on the show. But overall, I mean, this was every Jay White match to me. Like, Gato got involved. You had Kanemaru run in at one point. You did the same lame heat spots. The counters, I will say, were slightly less annoying because it was based around the Black Mephisto, which is like a lift-up move. But it didn't impress me, to say the least. I don't know. I mean, if you're very into these Tai Chi deal, I guess you could get there. Stuff with Miho. Again, we've seen that before in the tournament, too. People, you know, heels going after Miho. We saw it with Chase and now with Jay. I just...
it was different with Chase. He basically just... Chase just went to the outside and said, kiss me, and went back, and nothing ever happened. This one was more intense.
Yeah, okay. I agree with that, actually. Like, that's a fair point, I would say. But in the end, you know, there just wasn't... The wrestling in and of itself was not that great, in my opinion. Just a lot of the same stuff we've seen before from Jay. Tai Chi's solid. You know, like I said, he's had a really up and down tournament, I would say. Like, he had a couple of good matches early on. It felt like he was, like, really gearing up for a big run. He hit that B block wall where he started wrestling some guys who weren't as good as, like, Ishii. And then he ended up not. I thought a lot of his matches recently weren't that great. And, you know, I didn't see anything in this match. I wasn't emotionally invested at all, and I think the wrestling was not that great. And a lot of the stuff they did, we've seen before already. Even the good stuff was stuff ripped off from other matches. So I didn't see a lot in this, you know. But, you know, I could see this being a match. Like, the Kanemaru running in spot could definitely be something, if you're very invested, I see, you know, portrayed as a great epic moment. But for me, I don't care about any of these people at the end of the day, and I just want to see good wrestling. And we did not get that, unfortunately. I think that Tom Lawler match was a lot better, in my opinion, than this one.
Yeah, that's totally fine. I mean, I enjoyed this a lot, but you didn't. That's
I'm sure a lot of people enjoyed it.
Yeah. I saw a lot of people enjoy this, actually. And we have a good rating for it, too, with a 7.81.
Yeah, see, that's a very high rating. So, you know, that's cool that they have their fans.
Yes.
I think a lot of people are into these guys specifically. And I think Tai Chi, like I said, he showed that he's a good wrestler, you know, in the right circumstance, especially. I just think that B block is such a bad block that it's hard for even the best of us to succeed in B block and have a truly great tournament. But I think he's had he's probably been the second best guy in the block beside Ishii. So, Jay, I see nothing in.
This then was the main event of day 16 of the G1. They then traveled to Nagano, to the Nagano White Ring venue. This time they had four block matches, which made it very convenient for me to watch this after the Princess Cup ended today. I was just able to sit down and watch these matches. Really not that long of matches, actually, because we had one very short match with Great Okan going over Taichi. And we also had a flash pin finish with Yoshihashi and David Finlay first in Block D. So, yeah, this match really lacked any excitement because it was clear what was bound to happen with all the block standings that we now have, that Yoshihashi had to defeat David Finlay. They front-loaded David Finlay in this tournament, and now he has to suffer all these defeats in the end. So Yoshihashi, it actually was a great finish. It actually was a very good match, I would say. Great back and forth between the two. I once again liked what they brought to the table. And this finish I also really liked, with Yoshihashi and Finlay coming out of the corner, and Yoshihashi covered him basically with a three-quarter Nelson hold on the mat. That looked very good, I thought.
Yeah, this was a good match you'd expect from two good workers. And Yoshihashi's a great wrestler, in my opinion. And they've done a great job throughout the tournament. Finley's been one of the breakout guys, I would say, overall, in terms of wins and losses and just performance. I think he's done a great job. And Yoshihashi, again, with the shoulder injury, we have to mention that. It's gotten even worse since the Ospreay match. So I appreciate that match-to-match selling. You know, if you notice, he had more tape on it in this match than he did on the other one. So I appreciate the match-to-match selling.
Deteriorating.
Oh, that's true. He can't wait for this tournament to end. He's very happy to be done with the tournament now. Or maybe not. We don't know.
Oh, God.
Yeah, we don't know what's going to happen.
He's sitting there. Oh, please. Don't let me advance.
I don't know if he's saying that, but...
maybe not.
Yeah, we saw... I really liked the part, too, where they were like... they were going back and forth, and Finlay was looking for this armbar. I thought it was very cool. Like, it played into the shoulder stuff. Obviously, Yoshihashi fought out of that. did a lot of good stuff there. They had their strike battles. Very good match, I would say. I thought the Ospreay match was a little better, but I thought this was a good match for what it was in the opener, especially for one, like you said, there really wasn't any drama to this. So, yeah, solid. Like, I give it the soft wreck, 7 out of 10 mm-hmm. level match. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the next one was no recommended match, definitely. It was just a short match to ride Taichi out of the G1 and to give Great Okan 4 points with a really weak finish, I gotta say. Couldn't they have thought of anything else? Anything else I would have taken. But this man, he covered him after a vertical suplex.
Yeah, I saw this called the pancake hold on there.
This was a vertical suplex.
Well, this wasn't the best match, I would say. They started off with this, Okan was like, let's grapple. And then Taichi was like, nah.
And that part actually was very good.
Yeah, I was about to say, I actually liked it. I liked a lot of this match, actually, to be honest with you.
Now that you say that is actually true, but I was so done with the finish. That took it down for me. But you're right.
And it was a short match. I liked it. It was a good mid-card match. It wasn't anything special or anything. But, I would say, they did these things early on. It was pretty good. They had some good back-and-forth stuff. And they tried to do some stuff. Like you said, yes, a vertical suplex. You've demanded it, and I will acquiesce you on this one. He won with the suplex. Bringing it back to the old school days.
Souple. Yes.
Oh, yes, the souple, of the course. Souple. But, yes, bringing it back to the old school days, Striga. He's going to have... that should be Okan's new gimmick. Every match, he wins with either a suplex or a scoop slam or a headlock. All of the old... Or airplane spin. All of the old school moves... need to be brought back from Okan.
Would be awesome. I gotta say, I agree with you on that. I really liked the first couple of minutes of this match. And I would say if these two could have a 12 to 14 minute match with what they did here early in the match with their sumo versus judo approach, I think they could have a really, really good match. But this one was not designed to be that. So we're done with that.
And the match was meaningless anyway. No matter who won.
Completely.
Yeah, Jay was good. Even if Taichi had won, he still would have been eliminated. So.
Yes. So the next one was also not of any worth anymore because they were both eliminated before, I think.
Yeah.
Because Cobb had lost to Okada and Lola lost two. Yes, they were both out. But I thought this match was great. I really enjoyed this. This was, Kevin Kelly called it on the commentary. I think Jonah was in commentary for this. And they were also very into this match because it was a catch-as-catch-can wrestling match with Tom Lawler grabbing as many holds as he could in the match to take down Jeff Cobb. Cobb tried to come and attack Lawler with his power, but Lawler always had an answer for that, transitioned to different types of submission holds, and in the end was able to put him away with his knee to the back of the head, to the brain, actually. So great, great stuff, in my opinion.
Very long finishing move name for this. For ultimately a knee strike there, so I appreciate that, to be honest with you. Yeah, this was a good match. I really enjoyed it. Both these guys have had really strong tournaments, I would say, in ring. Cobb, they both finished, 500, at this point, 3-3, something like that.
Yeah, yeah.
So they weren't super protected in the tournament, but they did a good job. I thought they both wrestled
at least
well.
Tom Lawler got more wins than we initially thought he would.
Yeah, 3-3 felt about right. Why did I predict Tom? I think I had him at 3 wins.
When you said it at the beginning of the tournament, it sounded more like you had him at 1 or 2 wins.
Maybe. I don't know. I'm checking that as we speak, to be honest with you, to see what I predicted on Filthy Tom. But he did a good job. I would say, I'm sure it was not 2 or 1, but the point is, they were good. Both of these guys wrestled good. I liked what we saw with them. They deserve a lot of credit for being foreign talent, but really getting themselves over and wrestling a style unique to themselves. where they can stand out in their own way, and I thought they did a great job, you know, overall in the tournament. So yeah, I thought this was good. Another recommendation, in my opinion, definitely one worth checking out.
Then we have the main event with Kenta eliminating Hiroshi Tanahashi from the tournament. I almost want to say unspectacular fashion, Dylan, because Tanahashi usually is alive at the tail end of the tournament, but now they've eliminated him before the final day of block action. Kenta and him both tied at 6, with Kenta even having the tiebreaker now. Yeah, what's your opinion on this match?
I just want to regulate that. Actually, yes, I did have Tom at 3-3 in the predictions. In fact, I predicted A-Block almost exactly right, except Fale has one less win and Yano has one more win. So A-Block has been almost exactly right in my predictions here. So shout out to me on that one. We'll see what happens the next show. But the main event, you know, you had to figure that Tanahashi was going down. You know, at the end of the day, they needed Naito to advance, so that to me there wasn't a lot of drama in this match overall. And if Tanahashi had won, he would have the tiebreaker over Naito. So to me, they had Kenta go under a lot earlier in the tournament, and they ended up putting him over here to get it in there. They told you at the start of the tournament, and that's the thing, I kind of talked to you about this before the show, like for all the talk about how confusing and how hard to follow this tournament's been, at the end of the day, just like I said at the start, when it all came through to the end of it, it would all make sense by the end. And basically what's happened is, outside of D-Block, like the other three blocks have played out exactly as they told us they would with how they set up the final show, pretty much. And they had to eliminate Tanahashi to make sure Naito could advance, and they did that here. I thought it was a good match, though, I have to say. I thought they wrestled really well. Tanahashi, to me, he is another one that has a very strong case to be in-ring MVP. I think he once again has pulled out every stop he can, and in a unique fashion, in a way that's different to his prior years. I really loved his gimmick earlier in the tournament with the flash pins and trying to scrape by. I thought that was so enjoyable to watch in all of his matches. You know, it gave you a different perspective. It gave you new finishes. It kept his matches interesting throughout. I really enjoyed that. Here, Kenta, he hasn't been pushed super strongly, but he got a couple of wins at the end here to be respectable. He threw a table at Tanahashi at one point in this match.
Yes. So they went back to the match that the two of them had in January, and they played it up that Kenta still has a grudge against Tanahashi because he cost him so many months of his career, even though Kenta all brought stuff into the ring, this high ladder and all of that. So Kenta used this table, but this table wouldn't stand. It had a broken leg, basically, and he just did the next best thing that he could think of, and he smashed this into Tanahashi's face.
That was after Tanahashi slapped Red Shoes in the face.
Was such a dumb ref bump, because Red Shoes just stood there in the middle of the ring. That, like, no ref ever does that, but he just stood there and took the slap.
Yeah, yes, it was very stupid. Much like I don't know. For some reason, when these two wrestle, they get really goofy. So then they brawled to the aisle. They did the stuff with the table. He DDT'd him outside. He was down forever. Red Shoes was. And then Tanahashi got back on top. They had this big strike battle. And then in the end, he had to go to sleep to win. So, you know, it was a good match with some stupid stuff in there, I would say. But, you know, it wasn't nearly as bad, and at least nobody got hurt in this match, unlike the January 4th match, or the January 5th match, or whatever that ladder match was. That was just a really bad, bad match, that ladder match was. This was a lot better, but still, you know, you do have to know that there's going to be some goofiness. But I think if you're a fan of, like, Kenta especially, he's definitely embraced the crazy, like, heel stylings in a lot of his matches, so you probably appreciate it a lot here. But Tanahashi out, and that was the main event.
Right, so this brings us to the following standings in the blocks. Block A, Katsushika Okada is leading with 8 points. Second is Lance Archer, and as luck would have it, Dylan, these two are facing on the final day of block action, with, of course, Okada advancing. Then it's more interesting in block D, with Jay White and Tama Tonga. Jay at 10, Tama Tonga at 8, which is a perfect setup, in my opinion, for Tama Tonga to take the win.
Yeah, things have really worked out that way. I'm very surprised to see just how high they are on Tonga, but they've set things up, like you said, for him to finally eliminate Jay. I do think there's doubt in this, just because that's such a big step up for Tonga to advance to the semifinals. But that might be a guy they wanted to have a surprise, you know, like for the four-block system. In the two-block system, that's you wouldn't get that.
Exactly what I've said last show, you know. I mean, they don't have to put Tabatonga into the main event of Budokan, but he can still be in the semifinal. And one surprise entry was predictable, I guess, but not which one. So I'm guessing it's him, because this also, he's not winning the G1. But with him defeating Jay White, they could, down the road, do a title match, because there's still many months left before they go to the Tokyo Dome in January.
That's right. You know, you don't think that Jay would just win all of the matches, pretty much, and then there'd be nobody left at that point, basically. So, yeah, you would want to have one title match in between a King of Pro Wrestling. I just don't see it in Tonga. And at the end of the day, is the ultimate problem with all of this. I just don't think he's had a great tournament overall.
He had a decent one. I agree with you. It was decent. I don't see him at this level too, but they clearly do.
I mean, it's not clear yet. Everybody thought Watanabe was going to win that tournament too, Like, let's not, you know. And somebody was telling me, they were like, oh, it's assured Kento will win the tournament. And I was like, let's wait and see what happens. Like, these companies can be kind of crazy sometimes.
But still, though, just even with him being getting this run in the tournament tells you that they see a lot of in him.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, we'll see what happens on the final. I don't want to say for sure. My gut, with how they built it up, makes me think Tonga will win. They could do something very similar. And obviously, he's based his career in a lot of ways around this person. But similar to when Carl Anderson made the final of the G1, you know, they could even call back to that when facing Okada in the semifinal. So that could be something they look at as well. And then maybe Jay could just win. Like I said, you know, he's a dirty. His story in the tournament isn't that he's the best wrestler in Japan. He's like, he can outsmart people, is kind of his, you know, the kayfabe stories. And he will always find a way in the end to rat his way to a win, even if he's outmatched. So we'll see what happens there. But yeah, I my gut thinks, if I had to make a prediction, I would say Tonga will win.
Yeah. So Block C is interesting, because there are two matches left, and there is some positioning that goes around, and it will probably ultimately come down to the tiebreaker. So Evil already eliminated. He faces Goto on the final day. Will, of course, spoil Goto to make it to the semifinal. And then it comes all down to the Naito and Zack Sabre Jr. match. Once again, Naito at 6, Zack Sabre at 8. With Naito winning against Zack, he will advance to the semifinals.
Yeah, this is obvious. Like, A and B and C block are very easy to predict, in my opinion. Naito will win and get the tiebreaker in advance. And like you said, Evil will spoil Goto, as that would muddy the waters too much with a three-way tie. And I think that would definitely help out everyone here. Like I said, Okada definitely winning A block, and C block, Naito will win. So, yeah, I'm sure that will be a good match too, Naito and Zack.
So in Block D, you got to help me here. Is Juice out?
Let me look at the standings right now.
He has 4 points. But
no, he's not out.
He's not out.
Yeah, if he beats Ospreay, he would tie.
He would tie, right.
Okay, so here's the thing. Juice and Phantasma both have 4, right?
Yes.
If they both win, it's a 7-way tie.
Exactly,
like, everyone ends with 6. Which is not going to happen. Ospreay is going to be Juice, and he will advance, in my opinion.
My opinion as well, yeah.
You know, because remember, Shingo pinned Phantasmo on Forbidden Door, and that was one of the most predictable matches to me. Yeah. That Phantasmo would beat Shingo to eliminate him from the tournament, or ruin his tournament, or whatever. I would love if they actually just had the balls to just have them both win. And just do what... Because they're, you know, how would they... Just to see what they would do with that. With all 7 people tied. That would be so fun to see what would happen. All 7 men involved in something. How would they do it? Would it be a gauntlet match?
Oh,
would they
like going back to the 01 Fire Festival, they've done similar things in years past too. I think they've once started to have a four-way tie, and then they did a four-way match on the final day. And the year after, I think they had a five-way tie and did a five-way match, and so on and so forth.
I say go for it. Like I said, bring it. Like, I think that would be very fun and interesting, and it would be a first time ever thing. But the way it's set up, who has the U.S. title, the actual title right now? Does Finlay still have that?
No. Osprey has it back.
Oh, okay. Oh, yeah. Then Osprey's gonna win. Yeah. Overall, that would be good. Although it would be funny.
Yeah.
Juice beats Osprey and steals the title once again. Like all of the tournament has gone back and forth here and there. And they could do that. There. And you also have to say, Shingo beating Phantasmo, that's a better story because he would face Naito in the semifinals. Osprey and Naito don't really have a story to it. It's just a big match between two people.
Mm.
Shingo and Naito, that would be an interfaction match that you could lead to. So well, that's something. Cool. Yeah, I could see that happening too, actually. At first I thought Phantasmo would beat Shingo, but the more I think about it, maybe Shingo could win here. Like I said, I'd see. But I don't think they're going to do the tie.
I still think it will come down to Okada and Tonga in the one semifinal, because remember last year in the G1 Climax, Tonga beat Okada. Okada then, of course, defended his number one contendership against Tonga as well, but they probably want to go back to this match once again. And then the second semifinal is the story that we have also had in the New Japan Cup this year with Zack Sabre and Tetsuya Naito. Excuse me. No, not with Zack Sabre and Tetsuya Naito, but with Tetsuya Naito and Will Ospreay. Yes.
Yeah. Sure. Like, did they wrestle in the New Japan Cup?
No. I was just thinking about Sabre and
Yes, they will have their match.
They will have their match, but it's not in the semifinal.
No. Like I said, I'll go with Shingo just to be different. Okay. At the end of the day, just so we have something we can fight about on the next show or brag. One of us will be able to brag.
Will you also go with Jay White?
Jay White over Tonga, man. I don't want to go with Jay. like I said, I don't see it in Tonga, but he's only average. He doesn't actively bad like Jay is, in my opinion.
Will you? Let me ask you this: will you go with Lance Archer over Okada?
You know, Archer, he's somebody that I really looked forward to in the tournament, but I don't think he's had a great run by any stretch of the imagination. This is his chance. What I predict is they will have a big match, and it will be great. This is going to be Archer's best match. I think Okada, he's another guy. Like I said, he's not, he's historically not been my favorite, but I think he's had a very good tournament in his A block. He's a guy that's like, he's always at the top. He's always pushed super high. So nobody really even looks at him that way. But I think if you look at his tournament up and down, he's done a really good job for his role. He's really done a great job against all of his opponents, against bigger guys, and even against Yano. They had a decent Yano match. So
yeah.
I think he's a guy that a lot of people maybe can overlook just because of his status is so high. But I think he's had a really good run. And he's a guy that usually, if you look at his years past, has not been a great G1 performer. In many of his past years, even among his fans, I think have not loved him in the G1 a lot of the times. So he's a guy that's really had a full tournament this year. I think he's had done some really good work. So I will say it's a great match, but no, Okada will definitely. I will never predict against Okada in New Japan, and I still think he will win the tournament.
That's one of the core rules of this show.
Absolutely, and it's benefited me far more often than it's made me look mad. So I will continue.
I am usually the idiot that bets against Okada, but you, Dylan, you're the smart one here.
You never bet against the Rainmaker because you are not on his level right now.
Wow. Okay.
See, I'm turning into an Okada fan as time goes along. But I do think he's had a good tournament. I will be a fan of yours if you wrestle good, which he has done. So I still go with him to win. Overall, do you have a prediction on who will win the tournament?
Yeah, Okada.
Oh, okay. I guess you aren't betting. I guess you are on his level. You're not.
I've learned from you.
Okay. Okay. Well, we'll see what happens overall with the tournament. Maybe I do think there is a chance Naito could win. If it was Okada versus Naito, Mm-hmm. I think that's a very interesting final. They've done a good job of building it up. It's just it's unfortunate they've wrestled so many times this year and made it not as special than it could have been. But I think that it'll be at least a final with interest. It could swing either way. I will always ride with Okada in New Japan, however. And I secretly hope, although we don't think it'll happen, and I think we, in our hearts, we know it won't happen. But just maybe that magical wrestling magic can transfer itself to D Block, and we get that 7-way tie. And Yoshihashi,
maybe can, just someone screws up a finish that would be hilarious.
That would be awesome, like an accidental finish in the last match, like somebody slips and doesn't kick out. He's just like, oh, or maybe somebody like falls out of the ring and forgets their count. He doesn't hear the referee count and he's just like 20, and he's like, wait a minute. that would be very funny. So if that happens, I will bank on Yoshihashi, the Cinderella story, who is alive in the tournament. If this does become a tie, he will win D Block. To advance and win the whole tournament. In fact, this will be his shining moment.
All right. Yes. I just want to say to the point of Tetsu Naito, I see a slight chance for him to actually make it, because you said they've wrestled so many times and Okada has always won. So I from that perspective, I can see it. But then again, I don't know if a match between Jay White and Tetsu Naito is that marketable for the Tokyo Dome shows.
I don't think Jay versus anybody is very marketable.
Well, with Okada it would be, because it's Okada.
We've seen in the years past, the last couple of years, it's only been so-so. I was thinking about this too. I said this on one of my Patreon shows. I think after our last episode, I said something like this. I really remember back to that Jay from Dragon Gate, his interview on Open the Voice Gate, and he said something that really stuck out with me. Like, he was like, he's talking about the match with Tenshin in June. Mm-hmm. It sold out the Dome, legit. And he was thinking like, oh, whenever New Japan does 30,000, it's like, oh, wrestling's back. But then this show comes along and so sells out the Dome, legit. Yeah. And it shows you how long a way to go wrestling still has. Yeah. And I guess that's how I feel on that. Like, I don't think anybody versus Jay is a drawing match. I mean, we saw it when Ibushi main evented the Wrestle Kingdom. He had that interview where he's like, I really wish it had been Naito instead of him, because he's not a good enough opponent or strong enough opponent in the fans' eyes. And I think that tells you a lot about that. So I think either one. And in a way, I think Naito is as big of a draw as Okada in a lot of ways. Maybe not exactly now because of how things have gone.
Yeah.
But I think Naito has as many fans as Okada.
I think so too. But I just think Naito's story with Okada would be the bigger draw than anything else.
Yes, I completely agree with that. They should not have Jay be the champion and do Okada versus Naito in the main event. I'm totally fine with
that. How can we get there? Who can screw up here?
Well, they said they have to. I mean, who knows with the briefcase or whatever.
Briefcase. Oh,
God. I mean, that would probably do with like some kind of title match, but it'll probably be Tonga, and I do not think we think he will main event the Dome. But who knows with this company right now? They are very invested in this Bullet Club storyline, and they continue to be. That's another thing. They don't bet against Okada, but also don't bet against Gato's love of Bullet Club storylines right now. So we may see him into something going forward. But in the end, we agree. We think it'll be Okada. I totally agree with that. I do think Naito has a chance to win. However, that's all I was saying.
Okay, so, Dylan, the two of you, the two of us, actually, not the two of you. maybe you're two persons now.
That's right. My secret identity. Listen, Dio Sky.
All right. So we will be back after the G1 Climax has concluded, the two of us. You said that you will do some other shows on the Patreon, on the other tournaments going on in Japan with the N1, the 5-star Grand Prix, and the Royal Raw tournament.
That's right. Yeah, all of those. It's going to be a busy week this next week for All Japan, NOAH, Stardom. You get a lot of good things going on. And obviously with us, we'll be back. Maybe you'll watch some of those things as well. Maybe not.
Maybe.
I don't know. like I said, but we will talk about the final of the G1. We finally built it up. We've walked down this long road here with the G1 and many other tournaments along the way. And we've made it. And the fans have made it. They've stuck with us. And thank you so much for that, for all of our shows. I've loved doing so many shows lately for everybody. Hopefully you've enjoyed them. Hopefully you've had fun. Hopefully you had fun watching the shows, too. Maybe you're fired up about these finals. Maybe you're excited. Maybe you want to see that 7-way tie in D-Block. Maybe you don't want that crap. You want a basic storyline. You want them to do the same things. You like predictability. Is that true? I bet there's some people that like that. There's nothing wrong with that.
Predictability is not bad at all, actually.
Exactly. So you like following along with your favorites, root for your favorites, have fun. And, you know, if I criticize them, you could be like, no, you're wrong. He's actually awesome. That's totally cool. Maybe there's somebody I like you don't like, and that's okay too. Maybe there's lots of people I like that you don't like, and that's totally fine. But the most important thing is that we all have a lot of fun following the thing we love the most, which is Japanese pro wrestling, and we will continue to follow it no matter what happens, what is to come in the future. Even if aliens drop from the sky and invade this planet, I promise you, I will be doing a podcast, this podcast about Japanese pro wrestling. Yes. And I will continue it no matter what.
Who knows, maybe these aliens become big fans of Japanese pro wrestling too.
Maybe we have some listeners from outer space. Yes. Is that possible?
I guess it is possible.
Do we broadcast to the space stations?
I hope we do. I guess it's doable if you have the right, like.
Do they have internet
technical
in space?
Advances? Do they have internet? They must have internet in space because sometimes they broadcast from this International Space Station.
Ah, that's right. So if we need to, that's who we need to talk to. String, I want you to make some phone calls. Call the head of the International Space Station and make sure the Eastern Lariat is broadcast up to the stations. Because listen, these people are in space. They need entertainment value too, man. We have to look after them. They're like the forgotten people. Nobody thinks about them. But they're up there in space. They're looking on this planet, the whole globe of the Earth. They need Eastern Lariat in their lives. So that's what I think we need to do. We need to find a way to hook us up to get to those space stations, to the brave men and women in the space stations. And shout out to all of them up there for their love of Japanese pro wrestling.
Yes. Great closing words. Once more, Dylan, I can't add anything to that. Just want to say, hope you all enjoyed this show. I hope you enjoyed the show. We were not as down as we were on our last show. We enjoyed a lot of things on this show, so hope you enjoyed that, us enjoying stuff. And this has been the Eastern Lariat for now. Thank you for listening, and goodbye.
Sayonara.
This is the MLWRadio.com network.